Klal Ayin Dalet. Dine Hechsher Kalim. Today we learn about Kasher and Kalim. Last sugya was about Tfilas Kalim. This is about Kashering. They both appear in Parshas Matos. In Parshas Matos, after the war with Midian, they captured Kalim and tovel them, and they kashered them. Not in that order. They kasher them, and then they tovel them. So we learn about kashering. Now the hakdama to this is that there are two ways to make kalim kosher. One is hagala, and one is libun. Libun is by heat, by pure heat, and one is hagala, which is with hot water. Now, there's a basic difference between Hagala and Libun. Libun destroys the Bliya. It burns out the Bliya. If you have something that has a Bliya in it, you put it in a hot oven, you put it on a self-cleaning oven, it destroys the Bliya. Hagala does not destroy the Bliya. Hagala causes the Bliya to come out of the keli into the water. And presumably, if the water is 60 times the keli, it's bottled in the water, or if it's Eina Ben Yaimai, it comes out and it's gone. The difference is that libun you can do to a keli even 1 minute after it becomes treif. Hagala, we don't do within 24 hours unless the water is 60 times the keli, which is unusual for the contents of a pot to have 60 times the pot. But let's say a pot became usur only in one spot or only kedei klipa, so when you could kasher a ben yaima, but you have to have 60 times the amount, otherwise you wait till it's an eina ben yaima. One or the other. That's why we don't do Hagala on Pesach. And a Chabistik a Keli, you can't do Hagala on Pesach because it just turns the water into treif, which turns the Keli back treif. The Bli is still there. Mashenke Libun, which destroys it, you can do even on Pesach. So that's the basic difference between Hagala and Libun. Okay, let's learn the rules. What?
What did they do before Midian?
What did they do before Klei Midyan? That's a kasha, the Ramban asks in the Chumash.
What did they do what?
Before Klei Midyan, they had earlier Melchama, against, Sichem Va'aig, earlier than the Melchamas Midyan. And the Ramban asked the kasha why the parsha of Kasher and Kalim was given after Midyan, why was it given in the earlier battles of Sichem Va'aig, where they presumably would have had to kasher kalim as well. Mitzrayim, well, they didn't kasher the kalim till after Matan Torah. Well, you mean right after Matan Torah, they should have had to kasher the kalim. That's a good question. I don't know if anybody asked about Matan Torah. No. What? Well, for 40 years, they didn't buy treif for kalim. You mean what happens if someone became treif in the kitchen? In the 40 years, what happens if someone became treif in the kitchen? I don't know. I don't know, at the end of the 40 years.
So what's the answer?
I'm not sure which terrace is the Ramban's terrace. The terrace that sticks to my mind, in my mind, is that there's a heter called Kidvul de Chaziri. When you're Kakri, part of Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to eat treifus during the wars, to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban, if it's absolutely mutter, or just during wartime, if it's an emergency, it's mutter. But if you hold that it's absolutely mutter, then during the wars that were to conquer Eretz Yisrael, it was mutter. In the case of Midian, it was not. The Kaim Nikmas Yisrael, Nikmas Hashem, Meis Havid Yadim, there was a Melchama of Nakama against Midian for what they had done in causing Klal Yisrael to sin. So there, they needed it. Mashen came by the other Melchamas.
Is there
Makar? The Ramban is himself to Makar. The Kidlo the Chaziri is Makar. It's a Gemara. Gemara says that during the battles of Eretz Yisrael, it was mutter, during Melchamas Mitzvah, it's mutter ti treifus. As I said, there's a dispute whether that means it's an absolute heter, or just if you're stuck, you're allowed to, even if it's not pekuch nefashos.
Would that apply today? Let's say they don't have supply lines.
It might, if it's all defensive wars on Melchamas Mitzvah. Yeah. What? We had Nilchei Yisrael? He writes Kidlo Chaziri? Really? I'm surprised. Okay.
Said again? But that wasn't...
I'm saying that, he mentioned. Really, only Mechemes Mitzvah is mutter. The Nidchei Yisrael was written for World War I. It was Mechemes Mitzvah. Okay. Let's see. Aleph. Kelim or Asurim. Kelim that are forbidden. Bein Kelim Yishonim Shal Nachri. Whether they're old Kelim of a guy. People tell me sometimes they go to a flea market. They bought a beautiful set of china. What do they do now? It's used. So I tell them, well, you can just take it to a flea market and sell it to turn a profit. But you can't cash a china, right? And sometimes you have old kelim of a guy, a shenes from a basa b'chalav, or in the kitchen they became asa from basa b'chalav, a shayreser kedero shenesru kachu echsherin. The matter in which the iser went in, that's the matter in which it will become kosher. He gives examples. Lafikach, lekechli tashrish v'nachri shenishtavish ben b'tzaynein. If you buy kelim from a guy that I used cold, kagai kaisais like drinking glasses, it's leichiais. Or goblets of kiyotze behen, madichon, you wash it out, v'shashifon heite b'mayim, and you rub them well under running water, in water, kidei lohasir mashadovuk behem, to remove what may be stuck to the keli, v'achakach shaitfon b'mayim, then you rinse it all out, umadvilon, and you table them, umutarim, and they're permitted. V'nishtamish behem b'chamin, if they were used in hot, if klei cheres, if they're chinaware, earthenware, elam takana, bad news, no way to kashrut. If heim shel even, if they're from stone, is stoneware cut slabs of stone? Is that what stoneware is? Stoneware. Are they cut from stone? Is it cut slabs of stone? Is that what stoneware is made from? What is stoneware? Just the name of a type of klei cheres, or it's a, no idea? Nobody has stoneware? Okay. Alright, anyway, if something is made of stone, it could be kosher. That's why people ask about granite countertops. If the granite has no finish on it, just plain granite, you can kosher it. You can kosher it by just pouring hot water on it.
But it always has a stone.
So the question is if it always has. So I had one contractor who swore up and down that there's no finish on granite. And then I had another fellow in shul, he came in with a metal container of the stuff they finish it with, which is a polyurethane type of finish. It seems that there are two issues with granite countertops. It seems that they do coat it with something. The words didn't make sense to me. It says so it shouldn't absorb water and fall apart. But what does stone need sealed? The stone has been outdoors since my Bereshit. It's been raining on it for thousands of years. Is that, you saw stone fall apart when it falls off? Like Rabbi Kiva.
That's
what it means, Rabbi Kiva's type of stone. Okay.
Oh,
it's the stains they're worried about?
It's
a seal, okay. Okay, I guess rain wouldn't give you stains, okay. It's either for stains or, there's another issue, and that is at the seal between two slabs. It seems they grind up stone and they put it in. Once you grind up the stone and you process it, it may turn into cheres. I don't know at what point it stops being stone, it starts being cheres. So those are the issues. Someone once showed me that I could feel his countertop and I feel under the lip and you could feel where the sealant stops. It's smooth and then it's not smooth. So I went back to the guy who told me there is no sealant. I said, what do you mean you could feel it? Says, no, they polish the stone. It should be smooth, and they don't polish it underneath. So, I don't know. No idea. Until someone buys me a granite countertop, I don't know. Imeshem even, oimatchis al shel eitz, or even wood, tzrichin hagala, you can kasha them without water. Ubeidina klishin ushtabish by beklirishin, sar hagala beklirishin. The ikar adin is something you use by putting it into a pot, a ladle or something, you put it into a pot, you kasher in a pot. Ukareis v'teller shashvishalai de'iroi, and something which you use by pouring, like a bowl, hagolah shalahem gabkinai de'iroi. So again, you could kasher, you heat up water in a kettle and pour it. Achnoyegin lahagala kol b'klirishin. The minig is to always use a klirishin. The lepa'ami mechasa bahen kedera. Sometimes you take a plate and cover a pot on the stove. You're missing your cover. You put on a plate. Ukiyaitzabai. Mechena kapai, same thing with spoons. So you have a teaspoon. It's rarely used in a klirishin. But upon me mach this ice on the kadeira. Sometimes you put it in a kadeira. Because can clean nachri shiadua shabedichin yakab a klimishin. And certainly a guy's keli, which is all cleaned together in a hot dishwasher of that generation, which was a pot of hot water. Now I want to explain this. There's a difference between the minig of the mechaber and the minig of the Ramah. The minig of the mechaber, which is the minig of the svardim, is to kasher all kelim according to roif tashmishon. To kasher all kelim according to the way they're typically used. In other words, you have a plate, and it's usually used only by putting hot food onto it. A plate is not usually used by putting it into a pot on the fire. So even though sometimes you may have placed it on top of a pot on the fire, that doesn't matter. No, when you're missing a cover, when you're missing a pot cover, right? And some homes, they always find the pot covers, but some homes, they don't always find the pot covers. And sometimes the husband is there, and we occasionally, you're cooking something, you put a plate on top of the pot while it's cooking, instead of a cover. So, why are we not choshesh for the miyut? Because since we kasher ain't a ben yoyme anyway, we kasher things after they haven't been used for 24 hours, so they really don't ask for anything b'di'evet. And the mechaber holds that you're allowed to kasher them by roif tashmisham. By the way, they usually use the teaspoon, is usually used at most in a cliche, that has coffee, so it becomes bilachik. Occasionally, you may take a teaspoon and use it in a klirishin. No, we hold that you don't go by Sarif Tashmishai, we go by any Tashmish that it has, that we have to kasher it. But even like us, if you have a keli which stayed kosher all the time, or stayed milchik all the time, and became fleshik through one incident, you're allowed to kasher based on that one incident. In other words, if I know someone calls, he says, I messed up, I have a milk spoon, and I used it in a klisheni. Or I used it with iri klirishin. So you could kasher with iri klirishin, because it never was used the other way. If it became treif because someone poured from a klirishin chicken soup onto something, you could kasher by pouring from a hot kettle onto it exactly the same way the bliya went in through iri, you could kasher through iri. It's only when you have something that was used for a long time for tray, for melachis, to fleishiks, if somebody kashes. In that case, there's a difference of meaning. If you go by Sarif Tashmishai or that. No, Sfaradim are more makel than us. They're just a couple of famous chumras. Bishalakum de machmir and glat kosher de machmir, but most everything else, they're the Sfaradim are makel. Can you use a used pot from Svaradim? I'll tell you, can you buy a used pot from Svaradim? Maybe they cashed it the wrong way.
Well, let's say you want them to borrow something.
You want to borrow?
You
could. You could. What? You already cashed it Beis Eisa style. I'll tell you, I once heard a psak from Rav Palm. It was a very big chiddush. When I bought my house, So, the people before me had bought the house from a guy, and they had kashered the oven just by turning it to the highest heat and kashering it that way, which it said b'shem rabaron, the rabaron held that way. But most places, besides that, just about everyone besides that, held kabbalah kapalta. But the problem is, it's a klicheres that our finish is a hescheres. And we all just thought it's really not a good kashering. So Rav Palm told me that, look, they lived in the house 10 years or 15 years. So by now, all the bli has changed places already. They cooked so much kosher food in there that, after 15 years, it's kosher. So you buy from the Sfaradim, however they kashered it, by now, 15 years later, the bli has changed. It's a svara. I mean, without a tzirif, you wouldn't use it, but...
So, when you kasher, does it become parav?
Because parav.
Because
parav. Because parav. Because parav.
So it becomes parav.
That's right.
So it's not how the flesh when you went in. If the milk and the bleas are from a kli rishon,
that's true. But you're not obligated to make it parav. You can just take out the flesh of the bleas.
You're going to take the shortcut and you have to use it milk.
I'll tell you the truth. It's a very good point. That's unique to Basa B'Cholav. You see, by Basa B'Cholav, the milk bleas become asur too. So, you have a milk spoon, you use it for milk, instead of klevishim. And then, let's say within 24 hours, you use it for fleishig. Not only is the fleishig a blea treif, even the milchik a blea is treif. Because the milchik a blea became Basa B'Cholav. So, if it's Benyayim. So, Yudi's right, in that case, it becomes Isura. You have to kasha, you have to get out both the fleshiks and the milchiks. It's not enough just to get out one and not the other.
You can't
take out just the fleshik. That's called...
You're taking out both anyway.
No, but he's saying if you're going to kasha it by pouring water, which is the way the fleshiks went in, but the milchik went in the other way, you're not going to do it. You're not going to help yourself. It's called efshel asoch tayasar. If you're going to separate the... You're going to take out just the fleshiks, not the milchiks, it still remains
us. Awesome. If you go to a spot like some home... They're very firm and everything else. Right?
Yeah. Could you eat there?
Shouldn't
eat there. I'll tell you the truth. I only asked this food if the keli was a ben yaimai.
Was
within 24 hours of the treifus. So it's rare that it's within 24 hours and they kashered it already. They wait 24 hours just to kasher it. So once 24 hours passes,
it won't...
Yeah, yeah. Hagola, everybody wakes.
So
you're okay, yeah.
So you can eat one.
Yeah, even a... Yeah, food that was cooked in a non-24-hour camp.
No. The rub is smarter than you. To say that you can't eat by
the Sfardu can't eat by you.
What?
The Sfardu can't eat by you. You have a Bishul Akum problem if you rely on the... On the Ashkenazi Shemit
Hagim.
No. Yeah, I get calls, believe it or not, I get calls. I get calls from a restaurant. People say, I'm in the restaurant. It says, Bishul Akum Laminik Sfaradim. Am I allowed to eat here? People ask me, am I allowed to eat here? So I tell them, yeah, it's better. It's not worse.